You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The push is on to get Detroit and Southeast Michigan at the forefront of the mobility movement, to reshape the Motor City into the Mobility City, a center for innovation in 21st century transportation and mobility. Here with us is Jean Redfield. She's the president and CEO of Next Energy, and Glenn Stevens, executive director of Mich Auto and the vice president of Automotive and Mobility Initiatives. Let's start right at the ground floor. What does that term mobility city mean to you, Jean?
For me, mobility city is the city of the future where the mobility needs, how do I get from point A to point B, are met for everybody with the timeliness, the convenience, the consumer experience, and the cost that the user expects.
And your take, Glenn?
Well, mobility city to me means it's not just how cars move or how people move. It's how goods and services and data flows freely and efficiently. And that's really what mobility encompasses.
And that's something that we want to see in Detroit. We want to see in Michigan and be a national leader.
We do, because there's a tremendous economic impact from it, but really there's primarily a safety reason for it. And as we connect things and the world becomes more connected, there's an opportunity to make the world safer. 1 million people lost their lives on global roads last year. 960-some on Michigan roads last year, and we're up 40% this year. So using technology to make things safer and moving data, goods, and services more safe is important. But that economic impact to be part of this IoT auto-connected world is really, really a significant opportunity for us.
Jean, we know there are a lot of cities that are really in the hunt to become the leader in autonomous vehicles, the leader in transportation innovation. We've seen Pittsburgh's teamed up with Uber and has driverless cars on their streets as we speak. Silicon Valley's got a lot of the technology, talent, and the culture. Where is Detroit fitting into this race, do you think?
Well, I think Detroit has some things really going for it. First of all, as Glenn mentioned, the critical mass of capability is anchored here in Southeast Michigan. What we know about cars, what we know about connected technologies, and what we know about safety positions us uniquely compared to places like Pittsburgh and Silicon Valley. Where we're a little bit of a Johnny-come-lately, but making great strides in a short amount of time, is really getting together as a region around transportation and mobility issues so we can actually get deployments, not just development, going on here. And I think you'll be hearing some things over the next weeks and months about how those things are starting to take off in the city of Detroit and in the region as a whole.
Yeah, I would echo. Gene and I and our organizations work very closely together with other partners around the state. We formed the Michigan Mobility Initiative almost 2 years ago, and we have been actively working to position the state, promote the state as a center for that, but also make sure we have policy and talent for the industry as we move forward. So we do have the greatest automotive cluster, and there's more automotive and connected vehicle research being done here anywhere in the world. But we have to leverage all that for our future and build that.
And I think it's important to note that it's not just research. There are real world things going on where things are taking the street. The two cohorts of Techstars mobility companies and what they're doing around mobility as a service initiatives, as well as other mobility businesses, and how they're anchored and growing in Michigan is one sort of proof point. The other thing, we've got a couple things going on at Next Energy that are mobility as a service type pilots. We have one where it's electric vehicles and college students working car share issues and really trying to understand what's the consumer experience and what are the implications for how the car is designed. And then we have one around e-scooters, electrified scooters, 30-mile range, 30 miles an hour, car share or vehicle share type model. Who cares? How does that work in a city like Detroit? How do people expect to use them? What are the implications then for both the consumer interface and also the vehicle itself in terms of how battery life and some of the other design issues associated with e-scooters? So we do have mobility pilots active in the city.
Absolutely.
They're a little below the radar compared to the big splashy Uber announcements in places like Pittsburgh.
But it's bubbling away.
Yeah, and one of the things we suffer from a little bit in the Midwest is we are an engineering culture where we design it, we build it, we make sure it works before we pick our head up and say anything. And we're competing with a California Dreamin' culture where they just put out a bold vision and talk about it as if it's real already. And at
that
some point,
Midwestern modesty.
Midwestern right. modesty, the, you know, stick to our knitting and get the real work done around manufacturing, around safety, around trials, and then talk about what's possible and how we're ready to move.
Glenn, what do we need in infrastructure investment, especially in the Detroit area in Southeast Michigan?
Well, and it's an interesting time because of the election and the conversation that's happening about potential commitment, significant commitment to infrastructure, and our nation needs that. We're woefully inadequate. And as we invest in infrastructure, there's an opportunity to make it connected infrastructure. And that's what we need to do. So I give Kirk Steitel and the Michigan Department of Transportation an incredible amount of credit for being visionary in that. But we need the research projects. So we need to put the infrastructure projects in place like the American Center for Mobility, like M-City, like Kettering University's General Motors Research Center. But as we expand and as we redo and repave and put new roads and systems in, we have to make sure that it's communicating with the transportation and the goods and the services that are free flowing, like I talked about with mobility.
And I think there's one more thing to think about with infrastructure. And I think we're starting to get the policy leaders and the industry partners thinking that way, which is the idea of there's a future of infrastructure that's not each of the silos where roads are transportation infrastructure and the grid is the energy infrastructure and the telecoms is the data infrastructure. The reality is all three of those major infrastructure elements are starting to converge. Our energy networks, our data networks, and our physical land use networks around parking and transit and roads are converging. How do we think about that? How do we invest in that? And how do we make sure that those infrastructure elements get built so we can support these mobility solutions going forward and the new building energy management and energy efficiency solutions going forward and the distributed renewables and clean energy options going forward? We're building our 21st century cities, and we need to be using 21st century technologies to do so.
If you just joined us, we're talking about the push to make Michigan and Southeast Michigan in particular right up front in the race to become the leading mobility city in the nation. Talking with Gene Redfield, who's president and CEO of Next Energy, and Glenn Stevens, who's executive director of Mish Auto and the VP of Automotive and Mobility Initiatives. Glenn, have you seen any early returns on your efforts to attract talent to the Detroit area?
We have. And because we've been working in a very concerted effort and in a collaborative, that's the neat thing that we've seen over the last few years, driven by leadership in the state with the governor, the mayor, other executive leaders, you know, really people coming together to get on the same page as opposed to operating in silos or in conflict. So we're starting to see dividends with companies say, you know, it's not just automotive that's happening in Michigan, but these next generation mobility solutions are being driven and led here. And we're starting to see companies like Uber, like Google with their FCA arrangement. I was at Harman Automotive the other day, 1,000 engineers in a building in Farmington Hills in their new tech center. Incredible. And obviously Samsung has just made an acquisition move towards them. So this automotive tech convergence is happening. And now what we're seeing is not only do we design and build and integrate vehicles of today, but there's a recognition that we have the technology to do it for the connected vehicle and build the connected vehicle here too. So the focus is shifting here pretty dramatically. And I think that's a result of the work that we're collectively doing.
And is the talent coming?
So the talent is really multifaceted. We don't look at talent one-dimensionally. We have to look at how do we convince and how do we attract our youth to get more interested in the STEM focus or STEAM focus, and how do we grow our talent? Because we really have to grow it. That's the best pipeline we can do. So there's a steady stream and need for mechanical and electrical engineers, but above and beyond that now is this incredible thirst for software and systems and control engineers. So we have to do that. We have to attract people to come here. We have to utilize new Americans, so immigration issues and immigration reform are key. Veterans, my understanding is there are upwards of 300,000 veterans that come back into the workforce every year in this country. So we as a state, and we are doing this, have to look at holistically about how we attract and develop talent for today's industry and tomorrow's industry.
Let's look at putting the pieces together. And you mentioned University of Michigan has its M-City test site up and running, and we've been following the development of the American Center for Mobility, the $80 million driverless car test site that's being built at Willow Run. Flint, we've got Kettering University and GM building their mobility research center. Are these all complementing each other, or are we seeing any duplication of efforts in these?
Oh, I think the biggest thing that the region's got going on is the fact that we have the complementarity, that we have the capability to research, design, test, and deploy all in the same region. I mean, I would put even Next Energy Center into that mix. The work that we do around connected technologies with our DSRC testbed, USDOT certified testbed for connected vehicles, as well as electrification of vehicles, is definitely on the forefront of what's done all around the world. And so, you know, between the university research and talent, the early test tracks and development centers, and then cooperation for deployments around the region, I think Southeast Michigan is really poised to be that mobility capital.
And I definitely would say we're complementing because we're communicating. We use the Michigan Mobility Initiative, and we meet regularly, and we talk and communicate that way. But, you know, around the state, I was in Grand Rapids last week talking to them about Planet M and what we're doing with mobility solutions for Michigan. I was in Michigan Tech a couple months ago because they're doing incredible research up there because they have the snow facility to do connected vehicle. And as they put it up there, and I'm from the UP for Marquette, they put it up there, our weather is reliably crappy. And it's true because that when the snow sets in, the snow sets in. But to be able to do vehicle testing in that environment is extremely important.
Looking at the whole state, a hit and a miss, I think, in a sense. We saw the legislature move very quickly with a lot of bipartisan harmony to pass those bills allowing driverless vehicles on Michigan roads. Governor Snyder signed them into law. Senator Ken Horn of Franklin quoted as saying, this is the equivalent of the race to space.
Mm-hmm.
You're agreeing?
Absolutely. I think the idea of connected technologies and how they change our world is the space race of the 21st century. The challenge is it's not a single-minded focus. You know, the space race was land on the moon. The connected technologies future is a whole ecosystem of new technologies, new business models, and new players coming in and working with established players in new and different ways. So it's as aggressive as the space race and even harder to go after because it's not the single-minded focus but a whole ecosystem of capabilities and capacity that has to come together. And I think Michigan's getting its act together on that idea of the ecosystem and the collaboration and cooperation that requires.
And getting those public acts was a big important piece.
Incredible amount of bipartisan coalition that came together. I give Senator Cole a tremendous amount of credit because he's been a leader out on the front of this, and obviously Senator Horn, the governor. But we got it to where it needed to be to make sure that we stay in a place where effective, safe, controlled, and aggressive and progressive testing and research is enabled here in Michigan for companies to be here to do it. The companies that are here or the companies that want to come here to be part of this cluster of innovation.
Let's talk about a couple things that look like setbacks. First of all, Detroit losing out on a number of competitive grants to improve transportation in the region. How bad a hit is that? And what do you see as how big an obstacle is that for our region, Gene?
I think it was definitely a disappointment because having those federal funds as seed for additional private leverage is always helpful. It's a reason for folks to come together and put their money where their mouth is to get things moving further faster. But I think Detroit is well positioned. I think we've had a pretty aggressive leadership acting in a very forward-leaning manner to get noticed by the USDOT and other federal agencies, and to actually put forward really compelling and aggressive plans that Detroit is probably best positioned to run with.
Well, it's a setback, but we also have to be realistic about where we just came from, and that's a city that was in bankruptcy and turmoil. So when the mayor took office, and he's put an incredible team in place, they have been focused on basic city services and getting those established in place, the lights back on, ambulances showing up on time. I mean, that's first. So now we're at a point where he's starting to, you know, talk about his vision for what Detroit looks like into the future, and things are happening in that space. So really, you know, always with a setback, you have to look at what's the opportunity for movement forward. And we see a lot of coalition work being done for us to collectively say, hey, I'm working in this space and you're working in this space. Why don't we work on these mobility solutions together? So we see it as opportunity. And the DOT and the White House Task Force has been extremely helpful to the city in helping us move forward.
What is the failure of the Regional Transit Authority millage proposal? What does that mean for Detroit's efforts or Southeast Michigan's efforts to become a mobility leader?
Well, that was a disappointment. We collectively put a lot of effort into that, and really to have that capability as the backbone for mobility is really something we desperately needed and we still need. So we're going to reset and move forward and, again, you know, learn from what we learned and take it not as a setback, but how do we do this better for the future? How do we communicate it regionally? And so it was a setback at the time, but having that backbone of regional transit to be able to add on or bolt on or integrate with mobility as a service is absolutely essential for mothers to be able to get to the hospital for health care, for students to be able to get to school, and for people to be able to get to work.
In other words, voters, we're going to see you in 2 years and try again.
We have to try again. We've got to put these solutions in place.
Why should we be optimistic about mobility in Detroit, in Southeast Michigan, and really for the state of Michigan, Jean?
Well, I think the main reason for optimism about mobility in Detroit and Southeast Michigan is because of the capacity we have here, the talent, the assets, the companies that are already here, and the vision that the public and private sector leaders have put out in front for ourselves, for our region, but also as suppliers of mobility solutions for the planet. I mean, we have some of the largest OEMs on the planet shifting from automotive to mobility. And what that means for them in terms of business model, in terms of product design, in terms of new product service offerings, not just in Detroit, but in London, in Mumbai, in Shanghai. They get that, and they're moving aggressively forward with that. And I think that partnership of those global solutions anchored in Southeast Michigan is really compelling.
Glenn Stevens, you get the last word.
Well, I think we should be optimistic because of our DNA and our culture and our history. I mean, we put the world on wheels. So why not put the world into an autonomous vehicle and develop it, research it here, design and engineer it, and build it here? And I think that's what we're going to do. We've got great blueprints in place. Business leaders from Michigan had the foresight to put Global Center for Mobility in their turnaround plan. The governor's leading. We've got private companies doing this. And I think we've got the coalitions and the people that want to work together to build this future for us. And again, it's important because technology can help save lives and because the economic impact of what this can mean for our state. It's not a question of whether we need to do it. It's a question of us doing it and making it happen because our future depends on it.
Glenn Stevens is the Executive Director of Mish Auto and Vice President, Automotive and Mobility Initiatives, and Gene Redfield, President and CEO, Next Energy. Pleasure to talk with both of you. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.